Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop on this fine food Friday, October 28th. I'm Ray Graff. I think we have an interesting and exotic show for you today. We welcome, for the first time, Anissa Wahid of Tara Kitchen in Schenectady, New York. The Moroccan restaurant got its roots as a cultural boutique in Schenectady back in 2008. The food, well, I got to tell you, the food here in the studio looks and smells divine. We'll talk Moroccan cooking today. 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. If you have a question, you can also email the show at voxpop@wamc.org. Yeah, it's a Food Friday. Sit back and relax. It starts right after the news. Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff, and we welcome for the first time on Food Friday, Anissa Wahid. After spending 14 years in Manhattan, Wahid returned to Schenectady. In 2008, Anissa and her husband opened a Moroccan and Indian boutique named Tara. Customers who were intrigued by the Moroccan products started talking about the cuisine of Morocco, since there was no place offering it in the capital region. That gave the couple the idea to open a Moroccan restaurant. So in January 2012, Tara Kitchen opened its doors at 431 Liberty Street in Schenectady. The Daily Gazette has rated it a top five restaurant, and it has been ranked among the top 25 by both the Albany Business Review and the Times Union. So let's start talking cooking. Give us a call. The number to call is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. You can also email the program at voxpop@wamc.org. Anissa Wahid, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Isn't it an exciting and thrilling place to be?
Absolutely. Love it.
All right. Try to contain your enthusiasm here. So this is, again, this is a number maybe 375 on a list of food things I know nothing about, Moroccan okay. food. So you will educate me today a little bit about this. And first of all, whatever you brought, and we'll talk about that in a minute, looks and smells amazing. And we'll talk about that in a minute. But let's talk about you for a minute. So you started this restaurant in 2012. You were in Manhattan for a decade before that. And so you were cooking down there?
No.
What?
My background is actually print production.
Print production. Oh, it's a natural. I can see the progression.
Leap,
then
yes.
You end up. So how did you end up cooking?
I went to school for fine arts, so I think I've always had sort of a creative background. But after school, I realized that I was not going to make any money painting pictures. So I got into technology, so to speak. And this is, you know, in the early 90s, graphic design was big, and I was trying to do that, and I kind of fell into a company called Quad Graphics, which is based in Saratoga,
mm-hmm.
and they're printers, and they print magazines, and I met one of their executives at a meeting for some Mac users, and
yeah.
he offered me a job, and I said, you know, I don't know anything about printing, I don't know anything about technology or any of that stuff, and he said, oh, we'll train you, just come on over.
Yeah.
And that's really how I got started in the print industry. So I started there, and then I ended up moving to New York City with them and stayed with that company for a really long time and kept progressing in a very obscure part of printing, which is called imaging.
Okay.
So that is the link between design and the actual ink on paper aspect of printing.
Yeah.
So that's the little bridge that gaps the creative with the actual production.
Okay, but there's a huge bridge between that and what you do now. How'd you cross that bridge?
So I think that, you know, I mean, what I did was fun and exciting, but what I ended up realizing is I really wanted to do something more creative that I could take ownership of.
Mm.
So immediately I thought, you know, I'd do a graphic design business, or I'd become a print consultant, something that kind of. But what I didn't realize in the background was the thing that I was most passionate about was food.
Yeah.
I hate sort of the word foodie, but that's kind
it's kind of a trendy term.
Yeah,
we don't say it much on this program.
Yeah, and I don't like it much either. But food is what kind of calms me down after a long day of work and, you know, working 10, 12 hours in the print business, coming home, I'd cook or I'd go to eat. And if I never ate the same thing again, I would be happy because I kind of want to try new things every single day.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, I realized that food was a passion of mine.
Well, a lot of people have a career and they cook and they blow off steam and they like trying new things. But again, you have a business here and a successful one, and it's been a top restaurant. So
for a long time.
That's a lot of stress.
Yeah, I think that what I enjoy about running this business is I don't have a boss. Right. So
right.
At the end of the
except day, for your husband, right?
No, I'm his boss.
Oh, well, he's sitting here. He won't even speak. All right, score one for the wife. Yeah, all right. Well done.
Well, no, I think what I realized working for big corporations for those 10, 12 years in the city was I really wanted to be my own boss.
Yeah.
So to do that, you have to create a business that's successful and that can, you know, provide for us, the family, and all those things. So that's paramount in how we run the restaurant. Is there's no option to fail because I'm not going to go back and work somewhere, right?
I like that. Without a net,
yeah,
as they say.
Absolutely.
We're joined today by Anissa Wahid of Tara Kitchen in Schenectady. Moroccan food is your expertise. And how did you come? I mean, was this stuff recipes you learned growing up?
No. So I was born in India.
Okay.
So I'm non-Moroccan. Moved to the capital region in 93. And of course, then we know what I did for school and stuff. But I went to Morocco on vacation in 2006 and fell in love with the food. I just loved the flavors. I loved the combination of the unique ingredients. It was something, you know, having had so many different kinds of food in the city, I was still so surprised at eating this Moroccan food in Morocco, which was just incredible.
Yeah.
So I just kind of, you know, really liked the food. But on that trip, the other really special thing that happened was I met my husband, now husband.
An accountant. An underling. Right. I got it.
Mr. All-Rounder. He does everything.
Okay.
He makes me look good.
Okay, fair enough.
So we met on that trip, and he's also not Moroccan. He's originally from Pakistan.
Okay. So you like the food.
Yeah.
And have you had Moroccans say, well, you got to change a few things here, or is it pretty authentic?
Well, I think we do a good blend of both. We do some stuff that's very, very authentic, and we actually, in the restaurant, cook in all tagines, which is something that most Moroccan restaurants that I've been to don't do.
And explain for those listeners who don't know what that is, and you showed me what they were before the program. A tagine is?
Tagine is a ceramic pot with a conical-shaped lid that goes on top. And the idea behind it is you put all your ingredients in it, and you put some liquids, and you let it kind of cook on a low simmer. And it just kind of creates these fantastic melding of flavors and tenderizes things really well in, you know, your meats and stuff. So that's really what a tagine is.
I'm interested by the physics of this invention, and I assume it's very old.
Yes.
A thousand,
probably
2,000
thousands of years. Yeah.
But it's conical shape, so all of the liquid that is evaporating, the water is evaporating, but it's not getting out.
Out, and then the steam kind of becomes water again and comes back on the sides of the lid and goes back into the food, ergo keeping everything moist and tender, and that's really how the cooking process happens in Morocco. And I was just intrigued by that. I was intrigued by the fact that they pretty much cook a lot of their food in tagines. And when we wanted to open the restaurant, I spoke to many, many chefs because I have no food background and I don't have, restaurant operating background. So I contacted as many chefs as I could. And I said, you know, I want to do these tagines and I want to make them in the restaurant. And how do I do it? And everybody said, oh, you know, you put it in a saute pan and you plate it. And Muntasim actually said, my husband, that no, we can't do that. We have to do them in tagines. And I said, how are we going to do this? So the logistics of actually creating each dish in its unique tagine and then plating it to the customer in a tagine was something that we worked on for months before the restaurant opened. But he was pretty adamant. And, you know, I think that was great that he stuck to his guns about that, because everywhere I looked, every person I talked to said, no,
don't do it that way.
This is, you know, this is really going to kill you guys.
Do you have a quantitative taste difference?
Absolutely.
Qualitative, I should say.
Absolutely. Yeah. 100%. You just can't replicate this. I mean, of course, the recipes can be cooked in any pot and, you know, a saute pan, those kind of things. Of course, you can do that. But what you get out of a Tichine, the experience of eating in there, the experience of how the ingredients cook in there. And I teach a cooking class once a month, and that's one of the things we talk about is, I think the biggest difference you find between cooking in a Tichine or a regular pot is really the fact that your textures are so different. It just keeps the texture very, very different.
Our guest today is Anisa Waheed of Tara Kitchen in Schenectady. I got to say, both of you, I find you incredibly brave and daring for doing what you're doing. All right, you just said you had no background in cooking.
Right.
No background running a restaurant.
No.
That's two strikes. And you didn't really know Moroccan food until 2008.
Correct.
And yet it's good stuff.
It is. So I'm a natural.
So but you're not a gambler. So this is amazing because you rolled the dice pretty good there.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a break here. Our guest is Anisa Waheed, and we'll talk food. We'll try some food in a minute. 800-348-2551 is the number if you'd like to join us. 800-348-2551, or you can email voxpop@wamc.org. We'll be right back.
WAMC comes from Roundhouse Bakery, Cambridge, New York, featuring baked goods along with coffee, teas, soups, and sandwiches, using locally sourced and organic as available produce and ingredients. Roundhousebakery.blogspot.in. The University at Albany Theater Program, working to train the next generation of performers, designers, technicians, playwrights, and stage managers. Albany.edu/theater. Careers in Transition, LLC, Albany. Dr. Tom Denham providing individual career guidance, testing, job strategies, interview preparation, LinkedIn lessons, resume, and cover letter writing. CareersInTransitionLLC.com. Uncle Sam's All-American Chocolate Factory, offering over 100 chocolates, including truffles, buttercrunch, and sea-salted caramels, located on Albany Street, Schenectady and Newton Plaza, Loudonville. UncleSamsCandy.com. And Spirit House, Amherst, Massachusetts, a family-owned wine, beer, and spirits retailer offering organically farmed wines from around the world. Wine tastings, Saturday afternoons, spirithaus.com.
You know, I need longer bumper music. Just had a bite of lemony, chickeny. What is that I just ate? Very good. Very good.
Good description.
Thank you. That's why I'm in radio.
So that is chicken preserved lemons with green olives. I think it's one of the most popular tagines we do at the restaurant for good reason, but also very, very popular in Morocco also.
Oh, it's so
I think
good.
That's probably the first tagine I ate when I first went there.
The chicken is so tender.
Yeah.
Now, is this a function, again, of how you cook it?
Absolutely. We cook all of this in the tagines, and we season it with preserved lemons, which are whole lemons. That have been salted and then kept in lemon juice for a good 4 or 5 months.
Wow.
And then they kind of preserve. There's a lactic fermentation process that happens that tenderizes them. It takes away the citrusy bite but keeps the lemon.
So you get a lemon, you get an essence of lemon, but
yeah,
there is that salt. And it's
exactly.
Really, really good.
It's addictive.
So this is something that you have a line of things at your website as well,
yeah,
and one of them is the Moroccan preserved lemons, which,
lemons.
Of course, I saw it. I said, oh, I'd like to have some of that right out of the jar, and you said, no, that's not how we do it.
But that's, no, I said you can do it.
But that's not the normal way to do it.
Yeah, but
okay,
some
well,
people like to eat it right out of
the jar. That's
just
me. All right, so before we get to the phones at 800-348-2551, let's take a couple of email here. This one is from Anita, who says, all right, get ready for this. This place is amazing. The food is fantastic. Anita, do you work for Tara? We also loved our trip to Morocco and loved the food there, so we were thrilled to find Tara in Schenectady. So there's some fan mail from Anita.
Thank you.
And this one is from Mia. Hi, my question is, what type of spices are in Moroccan cooking?
Oh, that's a really good question.
We're getting to that.
Yeah. Moroccan food has a tremendous amount of spices. You know, they've had lots of influences in Morocco, global influences, right, just based on where they're positioned.
Yeah. In the middle of it all.
In the middle of it all. I mean, they have some fantastic spices that are used there. One of the most popular is called Ras Al Hanout, which directly translates to the head of a spice shop. So in Morocco, every spice shop owner will have his own secret blend of spices that they use that you can kind of, you know, then use it as an all-rounder. And that's what we use at the restaurant. But specifically, it has paprika, turmeric, and ground ginger, cloves, allspice. So it's a combination of many, many, many different spices. And it's sort of designed to add flavor, but not heat.
So this is your own secret blend?
That's my secret blend.
Ah, so I'll take this to the lab and we'll analyze this.
Yeah, you can do that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, absolutely. So this is also available on the website. This is good. Our number here is 800-348-2551. All right, now the best part of the show for me is when the calls start coming in, like now,
Yeah. Then
I'll start eating. So let's go to the phones, 800-348-2551. Let's go to Key, is it, in Glenville?
No. Can you hear me?
Yeah. What is your name?
Kernan. K-E-R-N-A-N.
Okay. All we had was
a Gaelic name.
All we had was K-E, so I figured it had to be
something else. Yeah, well, she sort of abandoned ship when she tried to spell it.
Well, fair enough. I'm with her on that. You're on.
Yeah, I'll say. This restaurant is one of the... I was one of the first customers in this restaurant years ago.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, wow.
And I still am. And she probably would recognize me if I walked in because I'm about 6 feet tall and bearded and funny.
And frankly, how many Kernans are going to walk in, right?
I'm the only one in America if I gave you my last name. I Googled it.
All right,
anyhow,
fair enough.
I just started cooking with the preserved lemon. I put it in almost anything.
Yeah.
Along with dates. You put date, preserved lemon into a beef stew, and you don't know what you're going to hit. But the sweetness and the puckery work out very nicely.
Puckery. Well done. Kernan, you're a fine way to start the show, man. Thank you.
Well, I have a warning for her.
Okay.
Back in Washington, D.C., in the Georgetown area, there was a restaurant called Chez Odette in the 1950s. And we soldier boys loved to eat there. Very popular. Just like this place, Terra Kitchen. But when Chez Odette got bigger, it failed.
Oh, all right. Well, that's good advice.
Part of the charm of this restaurant is the intimacy and, of course, the people who run it.
All right. Well, the business manager is taking notes. So thank you very
much. Well, I know him, too.
All right. He's got a little pen. He's ready to go. Well, thank you very much for that. Okay. Well, I've had a chance now to try the eggplant thing. What is the eggplant dish?
Isn't it amazing?
Oh, God, it's great.
Yeah.
What is it?
So that is actually called zalouk, which is eggplant, and we roast it with garlic and tomatoes, and it just takes a long time to cook, and then all the flavors come together with some vinegar and sugar and spices. It's a very, very popular appetizer.
You just learned to cook not that long ago?
No, not that long ago.
You're a genius. And then the meatballs. I had a bite of the meatballs, too. Tell me about the meatballs.
So the meatballs also another one of my very, very favorite things to eat. So it's just ground lamb meatballs that we grind at the restaurant fresh every day. And it cooks in a tomato shermoula sauce, which is tomatoes and onions and garlic and other things. And then once it's all cooked, we poach eggs in it. So the idea is...
Oh, my gosh, really?
Yeah, so you keep the yolks runny, and then you crack them into the sauce, and it gets all very creamy and fantastic. And
well, it is fantastic. I just say that I'm irritated with you for wasting a decade in some other profession. Let's go to Stephen in Highland. Stephen, you're on with Anisa Wahid.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
So I'm a bit of an amateur chef, and like Middle Eastern and North African food is some of my favorite. This definitely sounds like a restaurant I'd want to try. And my question is about, because I like to, you know, do some of this stuff at home, I'd be interested to hear about, like, where you source some of your ingredients, like, you know, like some hard to find things like the preserved lemons, you know, like, you know, Berber spice or anything else that's like obscure and but very traditional and authentic. And also, I would love to get a traditional tagine for myself. Do you know, like, where I could find that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I mean, we actually make every single of our ingredients at the restaurant. So we make our own preserved lemons. We make our own harissa, which is, you know, a very popular North African Moroccan.
Okay, I've made harissa before.
You've made harissa before?
Yeah. That sounds great. I would love to be able to do that stuff myself. Like, how do you go about preserving the lemons?
So to preserve lemons, it's fairly easy. You quarter them, keep the base intact, salt, you know, fill the quarters up with salt, put it in a mason jar, and then top it off with some lemon juice, and just keep it in an airtight container in sort of a cool, dark place till maybe 3-4 weeks. In the colder months, it takes a lot longer than that. So at the restaurant, we preserve about 40 pounds of lemons every week.
Wow.
All year round, because that's how much it takes us to, that's our consumption for the whole year.
But you're not using quarts of it at a time. How much are you using in this chicken dish when you make it for a customer?
Yeah, so I think for one person, you'd probably use like a quarter of the lemon. You discard the pulp and you slice it up, and you know, I would say that would be the starter. And some people like it more lemony and less lemony, so you can adjust it that way. But there is a certain amount of waste that happens when you get rid of the pulp and the lemon juice brine that kind of, you know, it builds up after. So you do end up going through a lot of it.
I gotta say, I've never tasted anything quite like that before.
Yeah, it's a very unique flavor.
It's delicious.
Very unique.
And you're right, it is addictive.
Yeah, and I think that's what intrigued me so much to the preserved lemons is the fact that after eating Indian food, I mean, there are probably 1 billion Indian dishes, right? I mean, just if you look at the whole country. So I've had a lot of Indian food, a lot of North African food, and lots of, you know, Spanish, all those kind of cuisines. But what the preserved lemons do is just really spectacular.
Subtle in a way.
Subtle, simple ingredient, which just kind of adds a really unique flavor.
I got to say, I would eat it right out of the jar.
Yeah.
But that's just me.
Yeah.
Not normal.
Some people do it.
Okay, good. So I'm not alone. Excellent.
You're not.
Our number here is 800-348-2551. Anissa Wahid of Tara Kitchen is our guest. Let's go to Emily in Great Barrington. Emily.
Yes, hi. I own a tagine, and it is clay on the clay top and clay bottom. Now, can that go on the stovetop, or does it have to go in the oven? How do you use it?
So, when you purchased it, did it have any seasoning directions?
It was a gift, and I don't believe there were instructions.
Is it painted on the outside, or is it just plain clay?
No, it's glazed on the outside.
It's glazed. Yeah, you can absolutely use it on top of a stove. What I would recommend doing is soaking the entire tagine, the pot and the lid, in water for about 3-4 hours. Taking it out, drying it for another 3-4 hours. And then what you want to do is oil it and put it in a cold oven and turn it up to about 250 and let it kind of heat in there for about an hour. That will help seal any bubbles in the clay, and it'll help kind of seal so that you can cook it.
So you can actually put the base of it on the flame?
Absolutely.
On the stove?
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow. Okay.
So the thing you want to be careful with that, though, is when you're cooking, cook it on a low flame. And when you get it off the stove, make sure to put it on a trivet.
Yeah, a pot holder or something.
Yeah, a pot holder. Yeah, they're very, very sensitive to thermal shock, so you don't want to shock it on a cold table.
Okay.
Well, thank you, Emily. We appreciate the call.
Thank you. Bye now.
Have a good weekend. 800-348-2551 is our guest. Is our number. Our guest is Anissa Wahid of Tara Kitchen. 800-348-2551. I had the fish. during the last call. What is that? It's very mild, subtle. What do we have there?
That's the fish with honey and a whole bunch of onions and ras al hanout. Just very delicate, very,
Now, where did you steal that recipe? No? No? Bad from a business sense? All right, the business manager says, where did you find that? What influenced you?
Over the years of just cooking Moroccan food, I listen to people. I create recipes. I, of course, read a lot about Moroccan food. I look at lots of cookbooks, follow other chefs that are doing Moroccan food. But at the end of the day, I think I like to do food that appeals to me. So I have to first like and love everything that I'm cooking, and then I can serve it to a customer.
But the honey and the onion, to me, counterintuitive, but phenomenal.
Phenomenal together. Also very, very popular. You have to strike the right balance. I think what Moroccan food done well is striking the balance between your savory, your sweet, your lemon, your salt, right? I think when all those notes get balanced is when you have the perfect tagine.
It's unbelievable. And again, I've been digging at the chicken a little bit, and I think I might have to, I mean, Schenectady is a long drive for me. I may have to go get some. It's a lot. It's really, really, really good. All right, let's go back to the phones. 800-348-2551. Anissa Wahid, our guest. Let's go to Isla or Isla in Albany. You're on.
Isla, how are you?
Good. Fun. Nice to have you here.
Yeah, I have a question about couscous. It is amazing, very much a part of the Moroccan cuisine, and I wanted to know a bit about the delicate preparation of it. That's my question.
Yeah, you know, I don't do a lot of couscous preparation. I make couscous. We do couscous at the restaurant, but we make couscous sort of the easy American way and not the original, you know, roll the dough out.
You said that with some disdain, I think.
I did not.
Huh, how about that?
I think that's it's very creative how we've adapted lots of different foods from different cultures. You know, I think that's great. So couscous is certainly an art, and you know, the box that you can get at any grocery stop, any grocery shop works just as well. But we do get a special couscous in from our food supplier with very specific directions on how to prepare it, and that's what we use.
There you go.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you very much. We appreciate the call. 800-348-2551. You brought some jars. You brought the Moroccan preserved lemons, which we've talked about, and I'm a big fan. What is harissa?
Harissa is a red chili pepper-based hot sauce.
Oh.
Very, very unique to the North African region, but made popular mostly by Morocco. I think it exists in Tunisia and Algeria as well, but very popular in Morocco. It's hot, it's spicy, and then if you're tasting the food that we brought in today, you see how it has sort of the milder, more subtler flavors.
It's definitely not very spicy, not overly spicy.
Exactly, and then harissa is what gives you that sort of punch, and you know, you can try it. I think that jar is open.
So do you dare me?
Absolutely.
Okay,
you should try it.
At the next break, I'll do it. You can watch my head sweat. It's very impressive.
It's sweet. It's it has cumin. It's got lots of garlic. It's very, very spicy, but has lots of flavor. So you can eat a lot of
it. So what kind of a dish would you use that with?
We do a lot of cooking with it.
Yeah.
We make like chicken with harissa.
Is it a garnet? Will you put it on as a condiment, or will is it in the recipes?
You can do both. And you can also eat it just with pita bread or crackers. You know, lots of people at the restaurant eat it just warmed up with some bread. It's great as a spread on sandwiches or in tagines. We store it in and actually have tagines that are dedicated to harissa. So some people really like it spicy, so we do that. And also we use it in tagines where there's more of the sweet elements to balance the sweetness. So we make lamb with honeys and prunes and apricots and all these sweet sort of elements, and a little bit of the harissa just helps balance all
that out. I think balance is such a key word for all the things that you brought, because all of it has a little sweetness, a little salt, a little spice. Really phenomenal work.
Absolutely.
We're joined today by Anissa Wahid of Tara Kitchen. Also see Moroccan apricot prune sauce over there.
Okay. So this is something that I created at the restaurant because customers were asking me for ingredients that they could easily use to make Moroccan food. And this was a couple years ago, and Niskuna Co-op said to me, you know, we don't have any products on our shelves that are Moroccan. So if you guys make something, we'll sell it. So it was really the perfect storm where I had customers asking me for ingredients and I had a store willing to carry the product. So that's really how I started to create these sauce, cooking sauces. So the idea behind this is you take the sauce, you add it to some chicken, and you saute it, and you have a tagine.
Oh, perfect. And you're done. Perfect. So now that is just for cooking?
This is just for cooking, yeah.
Okay, because I could, you know, again, my mind says Thanksgiving, I'll put a plate out with some cream cheese, put some of that on top, and serve it with crackers.
Why not? I mean, all the sauces that we have are all cooked sauces.
Yeah.
So you can use them right out of the jar. You can stick some pretzels into it and eat it.
Right? Well, you know, by the way, I love the Niskuna Co-op. Right around the corner from my in-law's house. Perfect. Love the place.
Yeah, we love the co-op.
Let's go back to the phones. It's almost break time. Okay, 800-348-2551. I'll try. You know what? Challenge accepted. I will try the spicy harissa sauce, and we'll be back and get back to your calls. Our guest is Anissa Wahid. We'll be right back on a Food Friday.
Support for WAMC comes from Ward's Nursery and Garden Center, Great Barrington, featuring tulips, crocus, daffodils, allium, iris, and more for fall planting. Wardsnursery.com. Bread and Butter, located in North Amherst Mill District, offering breakfast and lunch daily, from traditional staples to chef specialties such as duck confit hash and maple sriracha pork belly. Bread and Butter, Amherst.com. Cafe Capriccio, Chef Jem Rua, working to preserve and maintain the traditions of Italian cuisine and hospitality since 1982 on Grant Street in Albany, New York. CafeCapriccio.com. Big Y, family-owned and operated market with four locations in the Berkshires, celebrating 80 years of serving communities throughout New England. BigY.com. And River Valley Co-op, Northampton, Massachusetts, a food co-op featuring fresh local foods, a deli department with made-to-order sandwiches, a soup and salad bar, and a bakery. rivervalley.coop.
Fair enough. All right, we're back on the show. It's 800-348-2551, and we're having a good time here. I tried the harissa sauce, the hot sauce. Easy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do you see the sweat coming down my head? It's delicious, though. I'll tell you, I like a good spice. This has a lingering spice to it. Can you tell us any of the secret ingredients in there?
It's very, very simple. It's just some chili peppers, garlic, cumin, vinegar, tomatoes, and you just kind of cook it all up and blend it up. Yeah, very popular. This is definitely my recipe, but there are many different kinds of harissas out there. But this serves as well. It works well as a cooking ingredient. It works well as just something you can eat. Yeah,
an interrogation tool. I mean, anything. All right, let's go back to the phones. 800-348-2551. Peter in Williamstown, you're on.
Yeah, hey, thanks. Vox Pop, one of my favorite programs.
Oh, thank you.
I would like to know how I can sign up for your cooking class.
There is a schedule on our website.
What is that website?
Yeah, tarakitchen.com. And you can just call
it. Is that T-A-R-A?
Correct.
Yeah. Just tarakitchen.com, and you can call the restaurant and, you know, put your name down for the class that you want to go into.
So how do you have time?
Okay.
Thank you for that. We appreciate the call. How do you have time? Okay, so running a restaurant, not easy, and certainly not something you do a couple hours a day. It's a huge endeavor.
Yeah.
So then how do you have time to go turn around and do a cooking class?
Yeah, I think that the whole idea that restaurants are not easy, I mean, certainly it's hard work, but I don't think of it as too difficult.
It's a lot of hours, though.
Not necessarily.
No?
No, we are extremely disciplined in how we work, and we work very hard when we work, and then we don't work. And so the restaurants only open, you know, a couple hours for lunch, a couple hours for 3 hours for dinner, and we really manage time. I think my print publishing background is what helps me in running
budgeting
an extreme,
time.
Yeah, extremely tight ship.
Well, I mean, you seem to have everything going for you. So we're going to put you up for a prize of some kind. You can cook. You budget your time. Your husband's well behaved. Let's go to Margaret in Poughkeepsie. Margaret, you're on. Hello? Margaret? Margaret? Let's try it again. Margaret, are you there? We lost Margaret. I apologize, Margaret. But ultimately, it's your fault. Let's go to Sarah in Old Chatham. Sarah, you're on.
Hi. Yeah, my husband is Lebanese, and I love Moroccan food, but he has never really gotten into the whole sweet and meat combination that is such a classic part of the tagine. Are there any other Moroccan-style recipes that you can recommend that don't sort of depend on or err on the sweet-meat combination?
Yeah, absolutely. Like the preserved lemons, you know, when you're cooking with the preserved lemons, do not have to add any sweet element to that because the lemons and the olives really balance the lemon out. That's something that you can do. You can also cook with harissa without any fruits. I understand that aspect because there are some customers that we have as well as some of my family members who do not like the sweet element. So there's a lot of stuff that can be done without adding the fruits. You just have to get the balance of your spices and your other ingredients together. You could do like spinach with lamb and tomatoes and harissa without any sweet elements at all.
And also, on the other hand, he also is not a huge fan of couscous, so I often use a straight rice. But
yeah.
I'd love to be able to scent it or flavor it in another way.
The rice?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can do it with onions and ras el hanou, and that's what we do as well. We saute onions and garlics and fresh herbs and then cook the rice in that, which gives you some flavor, and it's not just plain old white rice. So you keep your water and rice proportions the same, but just in the beginning of doing that, you saute some onion, garlics, and some spices.
Okay, and then sort of cook it throughout, because that's what we'll often do, or sometimes we'll toast the pine nuts that's over there.
Yeah, I know you cook it throughout.
Thank you.
Thanks, Sarah. We appreciate it. Have a good weekend. 800-348-2551. All right, I'll admit it. The harissa, it's pretty spicy. Yeah, it's staying with me. It's got a lingering spice. Delicious, though. Gosh, I might have to have some more. Erica in Poughkeepsie, you're on. Erica.
Yeah, hi. Thank you. I'm wondering, Anissa, if you make any Moroccan spice cookies.
No, I do not bake. I do not have the discipline to actually bake or do any kinds of baking.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I can't do it. So I can make lots of food on top of the stove, but I don't bake. I don't bake anything.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks a lot. So interesting, the phenomenon. We have a lot of chefs on this program.
Yeah.
And they're a confident bunch. You're a confident person. There are a lot of confident chefs. You start talking baking, and they quake in their boots. What
Absolutely.
Is with that? Why?
Well, I think because you have to be so disciplined when you're baking, right? You can't say, oh, a pinch of baking soda.
So in other words, the art goes away and the science takes over.
It's very, very scientific. And I don't like to cook under those parameters. I like to cook from the heart. I like to cook. I can look at a tagine. I mean, we obviously follow certain guidelines when we're cooking at the restaurant because we want to give you the same experience every time. But at the same time, I can look at something and say, you know what? I want to do it this way today. Or, you know. I don't like to bake.
All right. Well, now Margaret, who obviously failed us the first time, is back. Margaret in Poughkeepsie, are you there?
Yes, I am. I'm sorry I failed her the first
time. That's okay. That's okay.
I'm very interested also in amateur cooking and professional eater, but just wanted to know if you were in favor of the cast iron bottom tagines. I see them around, and I'm kind of clumsy, and was wondering if you thought the cast iron version was as authentic or usable for the recipe.
Yeah, you know, that's a very interesting question. And for a long time, I resisted the cast iron tagines because I thought, oh, the ceramic ones are, you know,
more authentic
and all that stuff. But to be honest with you, in terms of maintenance and in terms of use and longevity, the cast iron ones work really well.
Huh.
And the biggest difference that I have found between the ceramic and the cast iron, and I've cooked with both extensively, is your cook time changes. So your cast iron cooks a lot faster than the ceramic would. So you'd have to kind of adjust how your cooking time. But other than that, I don't think that you lose any of the physics behind how the tagine actually works.
Great. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Margaret, and we appreciate you getting through here. Now, you know, it's funny. It was tough to turn her call off. Something about Margaret didn't like my computer system. All right, Margaret, next time we'll get it right. Let's go to Fred and Hurley. Fred, you're on.
Hey, how you doing? Good afternoon.
Hi.
I turned my speaker up.
Oh, no, you're good. Okay? Yeah, that sounds great.
Okay, if you want to learn how to do desserts, go to France, you know, Paris, and study there.
All right.
I was going to mention a question, query. The restaurant, I forget her name, I'm sorry.
It's Anissa?
Anissa. Hi, Anissa.
Hi, Fred.
My favorite restaurant in New York City in the village is Salam. It's on 13th Street, and they do, it's all Moroccan primarily. Do you do matzahs? And she does a vegetarian one, which has 17 different dishes, and a meat one that is like 21 dishes. And, you know, it's per person, so, you know, they bring out portions, two by two, you know, that kind of thing. And I was wondering if you do any of that, and I have to say that every time I've been there for the last, you know, 25 years, every time I go there, the food is fresher and better than the last time I was there. And there's something about keeping all, and it's a feast.
Okay. Yeah.
And so I was wondering, you
know,
do anything
most
like
Moroccan
that?
Restaurants actually offer that, you know, which is sort of a set course meal. And we chose not to do that. And at my restaurant, we have over, you know, 25 to 30 tagines that you can choose from. What I wanted to do was really bring you. As authentic a tagine experience as I possibly could. And also just based on where we are located and the structure of our building, all of those things we had to kind of take into account on how we were going
to... I can't wait to try it.
Oh, Fred, sounds
thank
good.
You. That's a great call. I appreciate it. 800-348-2551 is the telephone number. Anissa Waheed is our guest from Terra Kitchen on... you're on Liberty Street in Schenectady, right?
Yes.
So that's down by the City Hall?
By the City Hall and Post Office, yeah.
So the casino's going in?
Yeah.
So will that affect your business?
I'm sure it will.
Yeah?
I think that it will certainly give us a lot more exposure to people who are just coming to Schenectady. You know, people might be looking for things to do in Schenectady, either before or after, or as they're leaving town, or maybe for the next time around.
If they have enough money after they're leaving town, yeah.
And I think we're a unique enough experience where it sticks out. You know, you're going to Schenectady and you say, oh, this is a Moroccan restaurant. We get a tremendous amount of people who come off the highway on a regular basis because they say, oh, we're driving down, you know, 87 or 90 or whatever.
Yeah.
And we saw a Moroccan restaurant and we said, why not? So we certainly attract a fair number of people outside who are looking for a different food experience.
Let's go back to the phones in our waning minutes here. The hour's gone pretty quickly, yeah?
It has.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, I told you it wouldn't be that bad.
It's not bad.
You know,
at all.
Marginally bad, but let's go to Betty in Kingston. Betty, you're on.
Oh, hi there. Well, I just wanted to say that I've been making fermented vegetables for about 10 years now. And one of the things I have made is the preserved lemons, except, thank you, I finally found out what you're supposed to do with them. So you use them just with, like, you stew it with a chicken? What else are they used for?
You can basically substitute them in a recipe where lemon is called for. So, you know, if instead of using fresh lemon, try the preserved lemon.
That's why it's so good with chicken, because I often squeeze the fresh lemon on my chicken.
Yeah, try it with fish. You can try it with vegetables.
Now I've got a small jar. It must be at this point 6 months old or more.
You can still use them. Like, preserved lemons, if done right, do not go bad.
I have ferments that are a year old that I've eaten that I make. I make, you know, whatever. Whatever vegetables you give me, I'll ferment them.
All right. Well, good for you.
At any rate, I wish your restaurant was a little closer to Kingston.
Schenectady is it's a short jaunt from Kingston.
An hour away.
Yeah, there you go. Well, Betty, thanks a lot for the call. We appreciate it. Quickly over to Patrick in Springfield. Patrick.
Yes, hi. I'm hungry right now. I'm on the highway driving. I'm a truck driver. But I was going to ask you, do you put all the foods not cooked, raw, inside a tagine, and then you spice it up, and then you put it in the oven? How long does it stay in the oven for?
Yeah, that's a great question, Patrick. I do put all my meats, vegetables, all my raw ingredients, spices, oil, water, whatever I'm going to use in the recipe, I put it all in the tagine, and then I put it... I personally cook it on the stovetop, not in the oven. So I put it on the stovetop, and depending on what kind of protein it is, it can take anywhere from, you know, 20 minutes for maybe fish and shrimp to about 40 minutes or longer for lamb or, you know, beef and red meat, and chicken maybe around 30. So, that's a really good question. That's really how tagines are supposed to be used, is you put everything in there, you put it on the stove. I like to call it the original George Foreman grill. Right? You set it and you forget it.
There you go.
And you put it, and you put the tagine on the stove high, you put it on the high
low. You want to simmer on low. Yeah.
Low, like a slow cooker almost, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
Hey, Patrick, thanks a lot for the call. Quickly over to Mary in Cold Spring. Mary, you're on with Anissa Waheed.
Hi, Anissa. This has been so inspiring that I pulled over on the side of the road to go onto Amazon and look up to purchasing a tangine.
Okay.
That's cool.
And I noticed that there's so many different types, some of which were the cast iron, which somebody has already talked about. But there's some that are beautifully designed with Moroccan colors and patterns. And then I noticed that if you open it up, the pattern is on the inside. And I wondered if that's lead based and not more decorative, and we shouldn't be cooking in that.
Absolutely right. Yeah. So those decorative tagines are really for service and for putting food in there after cooking.
Oh, interesting.
So you want to make sure before you purchase the tagine that you check if it's safe for cooking, if it does have any designs and patterns on it, that it's lead free and it's been glazed so that it's not going to seep into your food.
Smart, Mary.
Okay, one more quick question.
Sure.
What would I, can you just throw out the name of a cookbook? Of course, I'm going to come to your restaurant too, but if I wanted to just start beginning to experiment with Moroccan.
Paula Wolfert?
Billy Hassan, Paula Wolfert. Look those two guys up. Fantastic stuff.
There you go.
Wonderful. Okay, thank you.
Hey, Mary,
bye-bye.
Thanks a lot. Well, you know, we're almost at the end of the show. Let's try to squeeze another call in here. Let's go to John in Rensselaerville. John.
Yes.
You're on.
Hi. Friends brought me to Tara Kitchen a few weeks back, and I haven't been able to stop talking about it, how wonderful it is.
There you go.
But I also wanted to mention my mother and her mother were Sicilian and always talked about North African influences on Sicilian food. And she used to make pasta chissarde with fresh sardines and fennel fronds and pine nuts and currants. And I'm wondering if you've ever looked into the North African influences on other regional cooking, especially Sicilian.
You know, that's interesting, John. I have looked at a lot of outside cultural influences on the Moroccan food, but I've not looked at it vice versa.
Right.
Because I'm always curious, you know, why parsley as opposed to cilantro? Why this? Why that? And I've looked at it extensively to see how certain ingredients made it there or why they cook the way they do, those kind of things. But it's interesting to know that it actually has, you know, an effect going outside as well.
Well, that's a great call. And John, thank you very much. All right. So, Do you have recipes and stuff on your website?
I do. I have a blog that's active or inactive based on how
much
busy
time you have.
I am.
Right. Which I can't believe it'd be that active, but there'll be something there. Right.
Yes. So I do a blog. I have a YouTube cooking channel where you can look at my videos.
Oh, that's cool. And that's a link from your website as well?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
And what is the website?
It's tarakitchen.com.
Tarakitchen.com. And once again, the restaurant itself. Run by your business manager, who has been really quiet the entire show. It's been amazing.
Snoring.
Okay, so it's at 431 Liberty Street in Schenectady?
Yes.
Okay, and what days are you open?
We're open Tuesday through Sunday, lunch and dinner during the weekdays and dinner only on Saturday and Sunday.
And when's the next cooking class?
I believe it's in November, November 4th. But I think we're booked up for a few months.
Oh, well, that's cool.
Yeah.
Well, listen, fantastic work. And the food was delicious.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming.
It was really fun being here.
Anisa Waheed of Tara Kitchen has been our guest. Support comes from Field Goods, working with Hudson Valley farmers to deliver weekly subscriptions of local produce year-round to workplaces and community locations. Support small farms and healthy eating. Field-goods.com. Gloriosa & Company, Ashfield, Massachusetts, preparing weddings, showers, reunions, and more at the Curtis House with three B&B rooms available or at their recently renovated barn. Farm to Vase Florals, information at GloriosaCo.com. The Black Sheep, downtown Amherst, a New York-style delicatessen and European-style all-butterscratch bakery, caterer, and cafe, offering fair trade coffee, BlackSheepDeli.com. And Rolling Rock Farm Salt and Seasoning, Sheffield, Massachusetts, handcrafted in small batches, infused sea salts, peppers, and blends for holiday gifts, weddings, and corporate events. RollingRockSalt.com for events and details. Thanks again to Anisa Waheed for being here. Thanks to you for listening and for all the great calls and emails. Thanks to Zachary Malloy, a fine job on the controls this week. Your phones were answered. Who answered our phones today? Was it Deb? Barb? Who answered? I couldn't see behind the... It was Deb or Barb or Colleen or Cubby or somebody. All right, everybody, have a great weekend. The news is next.